back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.
We are Wayne's World of Radio.
We are today,
we really
that's
are.
For sure.
We always are.
Scott Eckersley, our producer, 393-3700. Let's go out to our phones.
How are we still in the air?
Are we? Let's bring in Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, listen, you guys are on again, and I think Wayne's World, I think Tom has it right, and I love those movies. That's great. So Wayne's World 2, how does that sound? I like it.
You know, a lot made of this story from the Chicago Tribune this week about $200,000 going to a Kentucky recruit, and all the talk about Rich Rodriguez at two schools now. Do you see anything that they have in common?
Don't compare those. That's paying players. Here you go again. Michigan, I mean,
I didn't say that Rich Rodriguez paid players.
This is running a loose ship versus paying players. There's a whole difference.
All I asked was, do they have anything in common?
No. The answer is no. Okay?
Well, next question. Do you agree with that, John?
I think at an appearance level, I think Tom's right in terms of probably the gravity of what Calipari has done. But I do feel you do have this image now, the two schools Rodriguez has been at have been found to have some violations. But I do think the Kentucky violations are going to prove to be far more severe than what he did. But that doesn't minimize the fact that there are two schools and two sets of violations. And he's coaching while Calipari's coaching. So unfortunately, it is a bad comparison.
Right. What about the impact on the morale, the psychology of a team that would begin practice while this cloud that everyone thought would be gone by now, it's still
hanging. Are you talking about Michigan?
Yeah.
No cloud. No.
No cloud. Everything's gone.
You're trying to make it a cloud.
You sound like Chris Allen. I'm not the one who's flying out to Seattle for this two-day hearing. Come on, they're taking a plane load out there.
I know that, but it's not going to. You think those 110 kids are worried about that right now?
That's what I'm asking Dr. John Braccio.
No. I will answer for John. Answer, no.
Okay, psychologist Dr. Tom Crawford.
I can do John. I can be a psychologist.
John, help us out here.
Well, I feel this. It somewhat depends on the players, but there has to be at least a residual effect, because when they're walking down Main Street, Liberty Street, there are going to be some people that are going to be stopping them and asking them about this maybe more than, are you going to the Rose Bowl this
Wrong.
Year?
Wrong. They're going to ask him how many games you're going to win this year. They're not going to ask him about it.
That's all Tom's going to ask him.
Tom, I do feel there has to be even a little residual effect. I think you could even argue that what happened with Michigan State last year could have some small effect this year. I don't know what effect
it's
going to have.
No, you know what it is? It's a variable that we can use to dump this guy if he doesn't get the necessary wins.
It's actually
a nice little tool that's hanging out there to get him out the door.
Well, I'm only
now, if he gets nine wins, I understand that.
But Michigan has defended him. They've said, hey, didn't do anything wrong.
You have to defend him because you can't.
Defend him 1 minute and he's
David
a crook the
Brandon
next minute.
David is going to defend him as long as he's a coach. Come on. You can't say, you can't go half-ass on it. It doesn't work that way.
I know, but my point is, how can you defend the guy? How can you say that he's been wronged and then suddenly turn around and say, I got to fire the guy because he has a crook?
You defend him until you're going to whack him. Then you whack him and then you see ya. If he don't win necessary amount of games this year and his team perform well on that, once you get into Big Ten play and beyond, in a bowl game, then he's gone.
John, we have spent a lot of time on Tuesdays.
I fall into Wayne's World. I'm part of the team.
John, we have talked about quotes and slogans and sayings, but there's an expression here I want to talk about. The Michigan way with Michigan men. Has that connotation changed at all? Is the Michigan man still?
Yeah.
What?
Tom is going to disagree, I think, and maybe Mark, if he's listening. I believe all the years that I remember, except maybe Moeller a little different, when you said the Michigan way, the Michigan man, to me, the Fritz Kreisler, the Fielding Yost, the Bo Schembechler, Lloyd Carr, those are the kind of men that came to my mind, okay? And I think when Michigan was steadily winning 9-10 games, going to the Rose Bowl regularly, and you had a type of person. I think Rodriguez is different. I think he's changed that image. Now, what does that mean? I guess if you win enough games, you can change that. But to me, I still think when I think of a tweed suit, a hat, I think of actually, ironically, exactly what I saw at Cal when we went out to the Cal game. I kind of saw the almost the Michigan crowd. It was different than I was expecting from 20 years ago. So I think that what to me, the Michigan person is this kind of, we'll give it a lead, we'll give it a tweed suit, we'll give it
tweed
kind of a
smug.
Hold on. Listen, I'm just telling you the image.
John,
of the
where's
Prince
your tweed
Chrysler.
Suit? Come on.
Listen, I'm telling you that the Michigan man, listen, I've been to enough get-togethers over the years with Michigan folks, particularly older, that see Michigan in a very different way. And I think Rodriguez, however good he is, he does not fit the Michigan band.
No, he does not fit the mold in any way, shape, or form. And, Tom, I've always wondered if when people talk about this era of Michigan football, you know, the famous saying with Bo Schembechler, those who stay will be champions. Are they going to have a new slogan? Those who stay will be on probation.
The tweed suit. Let's get back to the tweed. John, you've been watching too many old. You know when they used to wear the hats and the ties.
About.
You know that this is the Michigan alumnus, the Michigan person is kind of a sophisticated, you know, kind of stuffy kind of dude.
Sophisticated.
You go over to a U of M club of Lansing and go, I don't go to those things anymore because they look too, you know, too dorky or too sophisticated for me. Okay. Okay. I'm not a Michigan guy. I don't fit that mold. I'm walking in there with baggy shorts and my Michigan Adidas shirt, you know, and if you're profiling, I'll help you profile.
All right. What about the profile for Nebraska? Now, the Big Ten kickoff meetings this week, Tom Osborne there, Nebraska coming in to play in 2011, the first Big Ten championship game is going to be held at Lucas Oil Stadium. Maybe all of them will be. We don't know. But the first one is.
That's good.
How does Nebraska fit the profile of the Big Ten?
Well, they're big and tough. Okay, I did like what Osborne said. We're not afraid to play in the cold weather. Line up, run at you, football. I think from a football point of view, they're the old Michigan. They're the current Ohio State. They're the current Wisconsin, the current Iowa. They're kind of the typical, what you call traditional Midwest football. And they are tough. I mean, they really change the whole equation, in my estimation, in the Big Ten, and they a little hinge that western part of the conference and just be a dominant bully.
Do
over
they
there,
fit academically?
Yes, they're outstanding academic school. Very
really
underrated.
I've been looking at ratings. They're a smaller school. They're 25,000, but I think they're a solid, very very solid type school.
Academic All-Americans than any school in the country.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
They have academic All-Americans?
Because that means the curriculum at your school is pretty doggone easy. Have you ever thought about that?
No, I think you're recruiting a different level of kid, too.
I think they're a solid. I think the Big Ten is a pretty powerful outfit of schools. I think that Nebraska probably is a team that has all the top programs that a Big Ten school would have. They're probably going to have to work a little bit in some areas, but being in the Big Ten, I think, definitely enhances it. Certainly did a lot for Michigan State getting into the Big Ten. And remember, this is an academic conference as well as
That's my point.
Conference.
And I don't see U.S. News. I want to see where they stand in the U.S. News and World Report. That's how they're rated. What are you basing it on? You don't know what you're talking about, Jack.
I'm just talking about Nebraska.
What do you base the fact that they're good academically? Where's your
I just
content?
Told you. They have more academic All-Americans than any school in the
country. That's the only criteria you have?
No, they have a very good reputation. They have a lot of
based
good
on what? U.S. News and World Report, right?
Tom, you are becoming what I call the old Michigan man. Remember, you're supposed to be the guy who isn't this way anymore. No, I think Nebraska is a solid Midwest school. I think they will – they're smaller, they'll be the smaller, except for Northwestern, they're a smaller school. I was surprised they were actually 25,000. They do have a big campus over in Omaha, but I think they'll be a solid academic program. They will even become better as they start heavily recruiting in this people-rich area of the Midwest. And personally, I'm happy, enormously happy, actually, they're in there. And the I think the giant loser, Michigan, and other teams.
Why is Michigan the loser?
A loser?
Oh, because let me give you my theory on this. The Ohio State-Michigan game, it isn't just because it was a national game, but I think it was a great recruiting tool for Michigan that Ohio State doesn't need. Ohio State has 50 Division I players.
So the Ohio State-Michigan game helped Michigan more than Ohio State?
I think so, no question. I mean, in my opinion, I think it hurts other Big Ten teams potentially. Like, it's going to be harder for an Illinois to sneak in to the Rose Bowl when you've got a Nebraska in there. And unless Nebraska goes back to the way they were, they're gonna just dominate.
They're good in a lot of sports, Tom. They really are.
And it'll be hard for Michigan State to get back to the Rose Bowl after 23 years and counting.
Well, it'll be hard for Michigan to get to a bowl after 2 years and counting. What are you talking about?
Listen, I do feel that is, yeah, Michigan State is one of the teams, unless there's an upgrade, that it's going to be hard. Because even in a playoff at Lucas Stadium, there's a good chance, as example.
I blame that on Earl Robinson.
You know, Sparty be better off not going to bowl games because they just lose them anyway. So why
you're still better to go, Tom. Earl Robinson did not go to the Rose Bowl the last time. He said,
I'll catch him.
Yeah, you know what?
Listen, I'll be a Bo Schembechler. Winning the Big Ten, winning a lot of games, and not winning bowl games—that was better than ironically than the current way.
I love the way Tom has turned this now, and losing bowl games is suddenly an indictment. You didn't say that when Bo was losing three times in 4 years.
Hey, Michigan won the last bowl game they went. They beat Florida. So they're on a winning streak.
Yeah, they beat Florida. They couldn't beat Appalachian State that year.
The only time Tebow lost a bowl game was to Michigan.
That was a great game, Tom, and a surprising
damn
game.
Damn right it was.
When
I'm
saw
hanging
Lloyd
on to it.
Tom's watched that thing at least 60 times. He's seen
the
that
only
more than
I got.
Watched Shawshank Redemption.
41-35.
Oh, I always have one thing Michigan people get mad at me about. I really like Lloyd Carr. I thought he had to tweak his offense. He was a great recruiter. He just did some great things. And, they were ready to run him out. I mean,
well, Michigan
State
fans were badgering him when after the 2001 game, they're calling him a whiner and a crier because, they deserve better after the 2001 game, right?
Yeah, he was a bad loser.
I think he was doing the same thing that you've condemned Antonio for doing. Remember the little guy when singled him out? Little Hart, I think, was his name.
Yeah, he got in a pissing match with a 22-year-old running back. You don't do that as a head football coach. That's just me.
No, hey, John, thanks so much. Appreciate your time. We'll talk with you Tuesday.
I love it.
See ya. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.